After Ram left his father's presence with these words, the stricken king lay prostrated in speechless sorrow, and it was some time before he could muster his faculties sufficiently even to think. When he recovered some strength, he muttered half unconsciously, "Surely, I must in a previous birth have inflicted hideous suffering to loving hearts. I must have torn calves from their mothers, children from their parents, husbands from their wives. How else could I suffer thus? And death does not come when we want it, and I have to endure the torture of always having before my mind's eye my godlike son, deprived of his birthright and forced into the bark garments of a hermit. Oh, life, how bitterly you cling to those who would be rid of you. Ram has gone into exile, and yet I do not die. Oh, Ram, 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 have you gone?" A little later, his mind clearer, the king said, "Sumantra, get ready the chariot and take my sons and Sita to the frontier of the kingdom." Lakshman touched the feet of his mother Sumitra and uttered the single word, "Mother." She embraced him, kissed his head, and said, "Your devotion to your brother has filled your mother's heart with pride and joy. It is your duty, child, to guard and serve Ram. Always stand in vigilant watch by Ram's side in the forest. Your elder brother is to you both preceptor and king. This is the dharma or duty of our race. Go with my blessing, Lakshman. In the forest, regard Ram as your father, and look upon Sita as your mother, and the forest will be to you as Ayodhya. Go cheerfully, my dear son. And God bless you." Sumantra then said, "Ascend the chariot, O prince. Tell me where I am to drive, for the 14-year period has begun." Sita mounted the chariot cheerfully. Kausalya had made up for her a packet of personal requirements: the shields, bows and arrows, and other weapons of the two brothers, together with pickaxes and baskets, were placed in the chariot. Ram and Lakshman ascended the chariot, and Sumantra drove it forward. The crowds in the street cried to the charioteer, "Go slow, go slow! Let us have a look at Ram's face! Alas, alas, who could send such children to the forest? How could their mothers endure the sorrow and survive? Look at Sita's face. She is indeed blessed, and Lakshman is happy to have such a brother to whom he can give devoted service. He is indeed a hero and a knower of duty." So the people of the city talked among themselves as they followed the chariot, and their grief swelled like a flood. Ram was urging the good charioteer, "Faster, faster." But the people were saying, "Slow, slow." And the crowd became bigger and bigger. Sumantra managed somehow to take the chariot out of the grieving town. The king stepped out of Kaikeyi's apartment and looked at the departing chariot. He stood there a long time, watching the cloud of dust, as though he saw in it the beloved form of Ram. When this went out of sight, he fell down moaning. Kausalya and Kaikeyi sat on either side. "Do not touch me," said Dasarath to Kaikeyi. "I hate the sight of you, sinful woman. Everything is at an end between you and me. I renounce you here and now. If Bhadra agrees to your arrangements and accepts the kingdom, he need not perform my funeral ceremonies. Even if he did, My departed spirit would reject his offering of waters. How can Ram live in the forest? Will he sleep on the bare ground with a stone or a log for a pillow? Will he eat fruits and berries? Thus the king went on, lamenting helplessly. Sometimes he would turn to Kaikeyi and say, "May you be happy in your success. Long may you live a happy widow." Heartbroken and empty, like one returning home from the cremation ground, he entered Kaikeyi's apartment by force of habit. Then suddenly he said, "No, not here. I will go to the dwelling of Kausalya." And so he did, and there he lay, waiting for his end. At midnight he said, "Kausalya, are you there? Touch me with your hand. My sight is gone with Ram." Poor Kausalya did her best to comfort the king. But what comfort was there in her wounded heart to give? For as the slow, sorrow-laden hours crawled, the cold night seemed to her a devouring flame, and the gentle moon fierce as the noonday sun. To her thus sorrowing, Sumitra said, "Sister, you have heard the scriptures and know your duty. Why should you grieve like this? It is your office to put courage in others, so you should not lose heart yourself. Ram has gone to the forest for guarding the king's honor. You are indeed blessed among women, for you are the mother of a hero who has scorned a kingdom and preferred to uphold his father's honor. Why should you grieve for a son who fulfills a difficult duty to perfection? We should not feel sorry for one who walks in the path of his ancestors and wins undying fame. I am proud that Lakshman has accompanied Ram. Sita, though knowing well the hardship she has to face, has also gone with her husband. Ram's glory will shine like an undying lamp. This is no occasion for grief. His purity and his virtue shall be a shield and armor to them. He is so great and holy that the sun's rays falling on him will not burn him, and the wind that blows will caress him with its coolness. His pure frame, as he sleeps at night, will be embraced and protected by the moonbeams, as an infant is by its loving mother. Shed all anxiety over your heroic son. No foe can encounter him and escape with life. Our Ram is endowed with all auspicious qualities. Your hero son will surely return to Ayodhya and ascend the throne. The lord of the world, and no other, is Ram. Sita is with him, and Sita is no other than the goddess of prosperity, Lakshmi. Ram will return, and ascending the throne, will fill with delight the kingdom, which now laments his exile. You saw the grief of the citizens as they watched his departure. My heroic son, the devoted Lakshman, armed with bow and sword, has gone with him to guard his person. No harm, no danger can approach Ram. You will see with your own eyes Ram returning after fulfillment of his vow. Believe me, Ram will return, beautiful like the full moon, and bow to your feet with joy and devotion. You will then shed tears not of grief, but of joy. Dear Kausalya, give up your grief. You will see the three of them returning. You should console and encourage the other women in the palace, and not stand broken-hearted yourself. Who else in this world stands firm by duty like Ram? Is this the cause for grief? No. Be proud of your son, Kausalya." Listening to Sumitra's words, Kausalya was somewhat consoled. Thank you. The people of the city followed Ram's chariot in a huge crowd. They tried to stop the chariot, shouting, "Do not go to the forest! Return to the city!" But Ram replied, "I am going to the forest to uphold my father's word. There is no place for sorrow here, and you should not seek to hinder me." But the people would not listen to him and went in crowds after him, shouting wildly, "Do not go to the forest! Do not go to the forest!" Ram stopped the chariot and addressed them with his eyes full of love for them. "Citizens of Ayodhya, I know the love you bear for me, but you will show it best by transferring it on my behalf and at my behest to my beloved brother Bharat. Nothing else will please me more. Bharat is good and noble, has all royal qualities, and is fully worthy of love. So conduct yourselves as to please him. Young in years, he is old in wisdom, and his heart is at once heroic and tender. He has the strength to protect you. He is your king, and you owe him loyalty and affection." "I am going to the forest to fulfill my father's word, and the king has appointed Bharat as regent. He is in every way fitted for that position. You and I alike should obey the king's words. You should go back and try to mitigate the sorrow of my father at parting from me." Thus Ram spoke to them in kindly tones. But they loved him all the more because of this, and would not be consoled. Some Brahmins, old in years and excellent in virtue, looking at the chariot, wept and cried, "Why, O horses, do you carry our Ram into the forest? We have heard it said that horses are sharp of hearing. Listen to us then, and bring back our Ram." Hearing these words of yearning from old Brahmins, Ram stopped the chariot. The three descended from it and went forward walking. The common people, leading citizens and wise elders, why, even the birds on wings tried to prevent Ram from going to the forest. The river Tamasa seemed to conspire with them, for now it flowed across his path. The chariot stopped on the riverbank. Sumantra unyoked and watered the horses and let them loose to graze. Ram said, "Lakshman, this is the first night of our forest life. Let us spend it on the bank of this holy river. Life in the forest holds no hardship, as you and I know. Look, the birds, the animals, and even the trees seem to sympathize with us. The only pain is when we think of the grief of our parents in Ayodhya. Though I feel reassured as I think of Bharat's nobility and goodness. He will assuredly tend our parents with true affection. Sumantra, go look after the horses." Then Ram offered the evening prayers by the river and said, "Let us fast on this first night of our forest life, Lakshman. Your presence by my side rids me of all care." Lakshman spread some grass on the ground for Ram and Sita to sleep on, but he himself spent the night in vigil, talking with Sumantra. Long before dawn, Ram rose from sleep and told Sumantra, "The citizens who have followed us, fatigued by their long journey, are fast asleep. I am deeply moved by their affection. But I cannot permit their love to force me to go back. Let us therefore move on now while they are yet asleep." The horses were harnessed, and the chariot slowly crossed the river. Standing on the southern bank, Ram told Sumantra, "If you take the chariot to the other shore, where the people are asleep, and drive it for a little distance towards Ayodhya, and then bring it back to this side, we can proceed on our journey before they wake up. They will then see the track of the chariot going towards the city, and thinking that we have returned home, may themselves go back. Unless you do this, the crowd will go on following us. Sumantra did this, and when the chariot returned, the three got into it again and proceeded southwards.